making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We go to the expert hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Hi, Brad.
What's up, guys?
Ready to go, man. Let's go.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Did you flip the coin?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
You had a coin flip?
Yeah, I did.
And you've come to a conclusion.
Oh.
We don't have him on the line yet, so I can't welcome him in.
Right.
But he's always on time.
Never isn't.
Always on time. This will be the week that it's not.
Yeah, there he is.
You got something, Jim?
Yeah. Tom's talking to him.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
He must be so excited to talk to Tom.
He's doing the pre-interview with Tom.
Right.
The pre-interview. Right. The pleasantries of Tom.
Yeah, do you have any amusing anecdotes you could share with the hosts? What should they ask you?
All right, let's talk to the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Celtics take on the 76ers, trying to close them out tonight at the Garden. Hi, Brad.
What's up, guys?
Oh, nothing, Coach. They're just breaking my balls about the awful questions that I open these interviews up with to you. But I'm ready to go today. I know. How about that?
You're being kind.
What do you have for me today?
Well, you got Larkin out, right? It seems like we're talking about these injuries each and every time. And then with the increased minutes of what McConnell's doing for them, and he gets inserted into the lineup, who replaces Larkin, and how do you combat what McConnell's been able to do for them? Answer that one, Coach.
That is the question of the day. That's the big question. So,
one. There were two.
So Wait,
there were two questions there.
I just blew your mind.
Which one would you say is the question of the day? Is it the Larkin part or the TJ McConnell part?
I think that they're combined.
Wow.
So I think that the thought behind the two questions, I'll try to give one answer for the two questions, is that Shane's had a great season for us, a great postseason for us, and we'll have to replace him by committee.
Okay. So replace him in the aggregate.
Yeah. In the aggregate,
yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, what he brings to us is tremendous speed, ability to guard, not only ones but then twos running off those screens, which obviously against these guys is very difficult. And you know, we're just going to have other guys step up and do that. And it's easier said than done. This is a really good team we're playing against, and you know, we are. You know, we know how hard it is to win a possession against them.
It feels like things got chippy and temper started to flare in the last game with not only you, but Jaylen Brown being teed up in that game as well. Do you expect a similar type of game tonight with Philadelphia really looking to maybe agitate?
Well, I'm sure, but that's kind of like the playoffs, you know, and I think if you go through any playoff series, by the time you play somebody for the fourth time, there's going to be some, you know, there's just going to be some, you know, extra chippiness, some extra competitiveness, et cetera. Like, that's just the way it goes. And, you know, I liken it to, you know, if you played the same open gym teams four straight games and they were close games, it would probably get chippy in an adult league. So, like, it's just the way it goes in sports. And I know that we always talk about it. It always becomes part of the story. But if you look across any series in any sport, that's probably usually the case.
As a team that's leading the series, though, you know, 3-1 series lead, do you make an effort to not get involved in that, to stay clear of that, not let that drag you down, so to speak?
Well, we have to play with great competitiveness, and we have to, you know, part of the reason why our guys are so successful is because they're very, very good, and they have that chip on their shoulder. And you have to balance that. You have to play with poise. You have to be able to do both. But you can't play passive. There's no room for passive at any time in a basketball game, but certainly not in the playoffs.
Like a guy with a guy like Marcus Morris. You know, he's doing the 3-0, and then he's talking about it in a post game. You know, 1-3, I wouldn't be running my mouth if I were them. Do you have to say anything to him, or do you let him go? Because he's been around for a while.
He's been around for a while, and my focus is on playing well in Game 5. You know, and so we got to get after it in Game 5, and that's what our focus is. They did some good stuff in Game 4. They were very physical with us. They got us on the glass. They were good in transition. They really tried to post us and pound us. and we got to handle those things better. We got to run better offense, hopefully get better shots. And so all that other stuff doesn't mean a whole lot. We're just focused on getting ready for game five.
Does this feel like a closer series than 3-1 would indicate, or did it seem like it was closer going into game four when you guys were up 3-0?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, they could have easily been up 2-1. They could easily be up 3-1 right now. But that's the way the playoffs go. That's the way sports are. You know, the margin for error is small. We're fortunate, you know, very fortunate to win game two. Game three could have gone either way. You know, I thought in game four, for the most part, you know, even though we had some chances late, I thought that they certainly deserved to win, and they were the better team.
Do you know the record in history that's on your side as far as teams that have taken a 3-0 series lead? This is something that Brett Brown has talked about on the other side of it. Do you know what that record is?
Yeah, I think everybody knows that, but that has nothing to do with this series. I mean, I think what you have to do is you have to win one game. Winning one game in the NBA is hard. We're trying to focus on win one game. You know, everybody is, obviously there's always talk about closing out series and where you stand in the series and 3-1. Like, none of that stuff matters to us. Game five matters. We got to play well tonight.
Even going back to the technicals, and I know you didn't really want to talk about them, but, you know, Jalen gets one, which is uncharacteristic. You get one after that. You guys going to have to worry about that tonight. I know it's a home game tonight, but you really don't want that type of thing to kind of steamroll for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I said yesterday, you know, we've got to play better. Our focus needs to be on us playing well, but there's always competitive juices that flow in the game. There's tension in the game. Sometimes those things happen, and it is what it is. You know, I'm not worried about it. I'd be much more worried if I thought we were passive.
How much of an advantage is it to be back home, not playing in Philadelphia? So much is made of home court in the NBA playoffs. Do you feel the same way about it?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you will always choose to play home, but I think it's about how you play. So I think that I know I sound like a broken record here, but it's how we play. Like, it's not, you know, we've got to do our coverages great. We've got to be great getting back in transition. We've got to hold our ground better than we did in game four. And then we've got to be, you know, we got to recognize what good offense looks like for us and how to get there more times than not. There's no doubt that in game two, especially, I thought that, you know, we probably don't win that if we're not in TD Garden. And the crowd was incredible at the end of that second quarter run. Maybe something like, and you know, I've been really fortunate to be in a lot of crazy environments, both here, other places in the NBA, and then obviously in college. But I don't know if I've ever experienced anything like the end of that second quarter.
I know that you've said repeatedly that referees have a very difficult job on the floor, and that's not an easy job, and you've always shown great respect for officials. And I'm wondering, at any point do you look before a game and see who's working your game? Because certain officials maybe have certain tendencies to call a game a certain way. Do you ever pay attention to that?
Well, we get the printout, you know, a couple hours before, but I've gotten to the point in my career, 11 years after coaching my first game as a head coach, that I don't even think twice about it. I don't, you know, I have a job to do. Our players have a job to do. Clearly there are times where, you know, I should handle my emotions better, and that we all can do that. When you focus on anything but the job you have to do, I think that takes away from you. And I'm just focused on that. And, you know, I'm not of the belief like you get a tech to change momentum and all that, you know, stuff that people have always said, or you got to get a tech to stand up for your team. I think sometimes you just get technical fouls. It is what it is. And you move on. Which, you take your focus off of stuff you can't control, then you have no chance. And our deal is, I have to coach, the players have to play, the refs have to officiate. And like I've said before, these guys have a very hard job. They do a great job. And I just won't, I'm not going to get into the public complaining stuff. I just don't believe that that's right.
Yeah, you can even go back to a couple games ago, and I heard you talking to Sean Grandy prior to, I think it was prior to Game 4, and you talked about the game winner and how it was designed. There's a lot talked about with you where you kind of draw stuff up, you know, on the board and this, but you've used these plays before. This is basketball, right? It's not just specific to Al, but, you know, you've had success with things, and you've applied them here from your past.
Yeah, I mean, I think any time that you're doing that, you're running plays, and you know, sometimes you get your first option, sometimes you get your last, sometimes they all get swallowed up, and it's, you know, it doesn't work. You know, when Philly hit that shot to go into overtime by Bellinelli, that's a play they've run a lot to post Embiid. They have a bunch of action going on around him, and then they clear out the middle, and he's one on one down there, kind of like we did for Al late in the game. But Bellinelli sprung free off that screen, and he was a better option than Embiid was on that play. So I've said this before, like everything that I've ever done is taken from watching somebody else and applying it within the context and framework of our team. Like, this is not, you know, certainly not brain surgery, but at the same time, you know, I just think you have to figure out what works best with the guys in your locker room and on the court that are on the court at that moment, and then how you're going to be defended in those moments.
All right, Brad, good luck tonight, and we'll be talking to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good luck, Coach.
Brad Stevens, head coach of the Boston Celtics, taking on Philly tonight at the Garden, 8 o'clock tip.
Taking out Scott Zolak's opening tandem question. You couldn't go with just one.
What happened to the coin? Did the coin land on the edge when you did that coin flip?
Nope. Started thinking about it. You know, Larkin's the biggest news here. And then there's, you know, he said, hey, that's the story, man. It's Larkin and McConnell. Like, we got to. And here's another thing, too.
Oh, boy.
You know, Shane Larkin.
I think you guys started laughing too early. You didn't get far enough into the question to hear how he tied them together.
Yeah.
You got a game plan for McConnell, but you know Shane Larkin is out, and you said something to get the technical foul, but
and Al Horford had that game winning play back in Philly,
but,
game three.
But the black uniforms, not good.
Right.
Coach.
We didn't even get to the uniform talk.
You didn't even ask him. You forgot.
That was serious basketball talk there.
You chickened out.
No, I didn't.
You chickened out on the uniform talk.
What was the question about the uniform? Do you pick them? That was the question, right?
Why the awful green with the black?
Why the black instead of the green, and who picks them, and
who
why?
Picks them? I thought it was who picks them.
Is it a superstitious thing, or is it like
it's probably a league thing.
I'll tell you why they have those ugly uniforms, because their uniform provider wants to market them and sell them.
Yep.
That's why.
No kidding.
It's a matter of who picks them. Who decides? Who's the person in charge of that?
Who decides and why?
Didn't think Celtics fell into that, you know, trap. You know,
every
Celtics,
team Lakers. It's not up to them.
Eh.
Cavs are still wearing those awful ones with the sleeves.
Hey, does that guy have 2 weeks maternity leave?
Who?
Jones.
Paternity leave.
Paternity, whatever
he's
that
the father.
Thing is.
I think he's back tonight, isn't he?
Is he?
I think that's what I heard.
Okay.
Someone's chirped me he got 2 weeks. I don't know.
Everyone gets 2 weeks. Well, that was the old company.
I don't know what the new company provides.
I don't know. Hurley had like 8.
I had my kids with the old company, so I was covered.
Well, it depends on what you get and what you take. Those are two different things. You can take...
I think Hurley had sore nipples.
You could take 2 weeks, but you had up to a year to take the 2 weeks.
Yeah, you can take a year if you want. You just won't get paid beyond whatever
time. You
get
paid for 2 weeks.
Right.
What do you have in France or England?
I don't know. We'll figure that out. Hardy's going to give us the headlines, and I'm going to tell you who the referees are tonight for Celtics 76ers. The full-blown ref report. And what these guys do in terms of rankings. Are they road refs? Are they home refs? I think that today's refs are predictable, is what they are. NBA predictable. I'll tell you next.
Sports Hub headlines.
It's Game 5 at the TD Garden tonight. Celtics play host to the Sixers. Green up 3-1 in the best of 7. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell will be along at 7:30 with the pregame. Just got off the phone with head coach Brad Stevens, who told Zolak and Bertrand that they're going to have to make up for Shane Larkin's absence with everybody tonight, as he's been a big part of the team this season. Red Sox lost to the Yankees 3-2 last night in New York. They'll go again tonight. No David Price, though. Rick Porcello is going to get the start. David Price sent back to Boston yesterday. Take a look at the numbness that he's experiencing in his hand. Patrice Bergeron speaking today as the Bruins cleaned out their lockers after the season ended against Tampa Bay.
We accomplished a lot of things this year. Obviously, it's disappointing the way that it ended because of the team that we had. You know, I think there's years where you have really good feelings and you think you have a really good team. And I think that was one of those years for me. So disappointing for sure. But then you also have to look at the glass half full where you realize a lot of guys are coming back. A lot of guys are young and learning.
Bergeron talked about having a little bit of a groin issue this season. Torrey Krug has a fractured left ankle. No surgery, but he's going to be in a boot for a couple of months. Headlines are brought to you by Stoneham Bank. If you need a bank, make it Stoneham Bank. Expect more, get more, do more. That's the Stoneham Bank way. Learn more now at StonehamBank.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.